What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 46 of the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is our CES edition, so we're all here at CES. With me, as I typically always do, we have Derek, but also we have Jack and Mark. And more or less, we're just going to talk this week about what we saw at CES. We've been in meetings pretty much all week, so we're all pretty much all run down. So guys, what have you thought of the show so far?
Well, I like the show and everything like that. Yeah, this is Jack, by the way. That's Mark. Yeah. Mark, say hi.
It was good, man.
Yeah, there's Mark.
What is what do you think the big thing this year
What's
was?
Up, guys?
Big thing this
Biggest
year?
Thing?
I mean,
I think it was VR, like we thought it would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, probably. Like, I saw everybody, even if they weren't, like, the product wasn't VR, they were demoing VR on their product, right?
Yeah. Like, everybody just wanted that, like, buzzword associated with it.
Yeah, like, every meeting I went to, or even, like, walking through the show floor, everybody had VR. I think it's going to be, like, a huge thing. I don't like it, personally, but
I don't think you used it yet.
Yeah, I don't think you know what's going on.
There's no way you used it. Have you used it?
No, I just thought it's not.
Yeah. Oh, my God, so stupid.
This is the Buzzkirk we all know.
It looks kind of stupid, and I'm going to use it.
I don't want to sit there and put a thing on my face.
Here's
the thing. I would actually try it, but I didn't have the time to, like, really, like, you know. We were going from meeting to meeting, and I didn't really have time to try it. But I don't know. It's just not my thing. Like, I don't want to be there in my living room. Like,
no,
we'll wait till after he tries it.
Well, that's the whole thing. So, Derek.
Yeah, so I'm, like, the latest adopter on the planet, I think, right? Like,
yeah.
Windows 7 is good for me, right?
XP. He's on XP.
I'm on XP. I'm looking at rolling back. and I tried it at Kingston. Which one?
HTC Vive.
HTC Vive.
Yeah,
SteamVR. And it's the best thing I've ever done.
Here's a question. Would you buy one?
I'm going to buy one.
I already pre-ordered.
I'm not gonna pre-order though. I'm gonna wait till there's like a good handful of them out.
Yeah.
So there's like a ton of like.
Here's the thing. I guess
it should be a competitor.
I guess
Rift,
I would
right?
have to really try it.
It would be.
But yeah, I think that was the biggest thing in the show.
Once you get in it and like you do your first like
is it
interaction
real, like,
with
intuitive?
Something,
like I mean, can
oh,
you
100%.
Yeah.
The first like real action you do, it just like. It just clicks, and you're like, this is the best thing I've ever done. Like,
you will smile.
Yeah.
You
up a gun. The first time you pick up a gun, I swear, is like...
Yeah.
It's a magical moment.
And you will look like an idiot to everyone watching you.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You will be in... Your,
you absolutely
you
don't
love
care.
It.
Not even one bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. You can get vertigo from it. I mean, you can get everything.
it's gorgeous. It's about the worst thing you could ever do.
Like that ship thing. Everybody had the ship demo underwater.
Yeah,
you
the water walk around.
Walk
you did
the
water
other,
one.
Walk to
yeah,
the edge
I
of the ship, and you could see down the bottom of the ocean.
So you did
work.
You did water. Did you... Was that
the
only demo you did?
Too, yeah.
You did zombies
I did
also?
The zombie, the paint, and the water one.
The paint one's pretty sick. I did paint and zombies.
Yeah, describe the paint a little bit, because it's not like...
Right. So, there's a few demos that Mark was saying. So, anyone doesn't know, these VR demos are pretty cool. The zombie one, basically, you're in the middle of a desert, and you have to turn and pick up a gun. So, that's kind of the moment when it really clicks. You turn around, there's a gun laying on a crate. And you turn around, you have your two controllers, more like wands, as Derek was explaining. You know?
Yeah, they're like more like wands with like you got trigger on the bottom. They have other buttons on them for other functions.
Other things,
really.
Yeah. There's like
the
touchpad.
Multi-use, yeah.
It's touchpad very similar to a Steam controller on the fronts of them for your thumbs. And then
you reach out.
Yeah, you like reach to the box. You hit your trigger when you get to like close to the gun, and then when you do that, it like picks it up. And now you like look down, and where your hand is at, it's now like you're holding a gun. And
yeah,
then that time you're like, oh, snap.
Like a gun and
yeah,
gun.
And then all of a sudden, and the zombies start running at you, you're like, pow, 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 pow.
And then you get another
What's
one.
The paint demo?
The paint demo is, you're basically just, you can change the scenario or like anything else, right? So originally, it's just like, you just start drawing if you want.
Okay.
And it's like
in
3D space. Yeah, it's in 3D space. So you can like duck below it and look at it from here, or you can go anywhere you want.
Through it, yeah.
I wrote Think Computers in my demo, but I don't think
cool.
I was hoping Derek was watching what I was doing.
Yeah,
actually,
I saw it.
You saw it.
Yeah, because alongside the demo, they have a computer monitor set up, actually showing what's on the display inside the VR, and yeah, you could see what he was writing.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Cool.
You didn't really complete it, otherwise I was going to take a picture.
I got it done, but. I didn't realize how big I was writing.
And there's a timing on all of... Like,
yeah.
These are just demos, so they time out and you're done.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I had to, like... I started on, you know, 0 degrees, and I had to go basically an entire circle to write the whole thing.
Okay.
You know?
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, I think if I once I try it, maybe I'll go tomorrow morning
to the
floor and try it.
Just go, no, go to HyperX, go to Kingston.
Yeah, yeah, or go to Kingston or something like that and try
if
it.
If they're still there, yeah.
Besides that, anything else that you saw a lot of? I saw a lot of drones.
I didn't see any drones.
There was a lot of drones last year, too,
yeah.
But you have to go. So CES is like, there's the show floor, and then that part of it is broken down into different, like, market segments,
yeah, we,
right?
Mark and I walked through the drone section, and it was just crazy.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, they were like everywhere, and they've got like the like robots near drones too. So it's
yeah,
just like
it was crazy
autonomous section. Over
Now let's talk about things that really impressed you that you saw. I mean, obviously a lot of our stuff is more component focused, and I think a lot of our listeners are more component focused. So as far as components, what did you guys see that you thought was really awesome? That like if you had the chance to get it, you would want it.
For me, there's two cases that I saw that, like, I'm like, take my money now.
Yeah.
Aside from VR, it's these two cases. So, the first one that I saw, in, like, no order of, like, ranking which one is better, because they're both, like, equally as awesome. Inwin was here, and they brought their 805 with a, what would you call it?
It's a new front panel.
Yeah,
I
it's
think
not,
they call it a black hole or
a
something.
A demo panel.
Yeah,
like, it's not a production panel.
If
yeah,
you go to our post, guys, watch the video because I saw the pictures that Derek posted, but once you watch the video,
yeah,
and when you pan around the front, it like
they use a two-way mirror, I believe, to and then like an LED strip along the inside.
Oh, this is that with the rows of
lights. Yeah, it looks
yeah,
like
yeah,
rows
yeah,
of
yeah.
lights.
Yeah.
So and it's just like it's just this vanishing point.
Yeah,
it's like and they call it the black hole, and it's just a front panel. And it just, like, sinks into the back of the case.
That
this is the coolest front
case,
yeah.
Yeah,
case front I've ever seen.
I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It just added, like, lights around. But then I watched
yeah.
the video that you guys shot, and I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So aside from that one, we just went, we were with Fantex today, and they're sweet. And they have a, what was that one called, Jack?
Which one?
The big one.
Project 916.
Yeah, Project 916. This is, like, an aggregate of all of their cases they've done so far. So you got the Primo, the Enthu. Into Primo is the same one.
Yeah.
The Evolve.
Evolve, yeah.
Just all their cases. And they took all of the like the best parts of each one and they made this massive, massive case. Like,
is it gonna be retail or no?
Yeah, it's gonna be retail. It's
okay.
it should be at Computex, right?
Okay.
But it's like tempered glass, 5mm thick, aluminum paneling.
And it's like all one piece aluminum.
And it's all
too.
One piece yeah,
yeah,
aluminum. And it's got like
yeah,
design
like
characteristics
yeah,
from
it'd
like the Primo.
This tall on the table.
Wow.
Gigantic.
Yeah, it's
cool.
Just it's a dual system case too.
Okay, yeah.
With three separate chambers, it's like I don't know where I put it, but
yeah.
but like it's incredible, man. Like,
it is really nice. The whole
yeah.
side is tempered glass too.
Yeah,
yeah.
The whole like
yeah, it's like
window facing side.
3 foot
glass.
Tall piece of tempered glass, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark.
And they have a cutout in the center and everything. It's crazy, crazy.
Do they have a price on it?
No, no.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't even want us to talk about internals.
Yeah.
Because they might change it up. But you're talking like 480 reds.
Wow.
Like triple 480 reds.
That's awesome. What about you, Mark?
I didn't get to walk around the show floor just yet. But, you know, from some personal first-hand experiences, probably the advancement of some laptops with the OLEDs.
Yeah, we saw two. We saw
Lenovo's.
We saw Lenovo had a ThinkPad that had OLED, and then we saw the new Alienware 13-inch has an OLED screen. And if you haven't seen these, compared to a typical screen, it's just beautiful. And I mean, it's basically like looking at a mobile device screen, but in a 13-inch.
Yeah, the colors are just
incredible. Yeah, it's amazing.
And just a few little small things, the wireless USB that can connect up to three devices. Well, eight technically, but three that can stream.
Yeah,
and
that was from SanDisk has wireless USB device, but it's really, really cool. And the cool thing about it is, especially if you're an iPhone user, is that these get filled up. You know, your iPhone gets filled up so much, and they have an option in the app that allows you to basically just hit backup camera roll, and it will back up your entire camera roll. You don't have to worry about picking up photos or something like that.
Does it automatically detect, like, copies so it doesn't because that, like, that's
I'm
my thing when I'm backing stuff
yeah.
up. I'm always like I've got like three folders with like some of the same stuff
yeah
in
I'm
it,
not
know?
Exactly sure if you know but they demoed backing up your camera roll and it was really really cool because that's like you know I'm an iPhone user and it's just hard to pick through the photos that you want, and I just want to back it all up. And this allows you to do it wirelessly, too. You just hit backup. And just like Mark said, you can stream to three devices in 1080p, which is really nice as well. Just a cool little device, and it's not expensive. And I think it's a 200 gigabyte, or no.
Yeah, 200 megabyte.
Or 200 gigabyte.
No, gigabyte.
200,
sorry.
200
gigabyte.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's like five photos and a video.
Yeah, it's 200 gigabyte flash storage. It's really, really cool. And yeah, it's powered, obviously powered by USB. And I think you don't have to have it plugged in.
So why not just use Google Drive or Amazon Photo to back up your photos?
This is because it's always with you, right? So
it is.
Just listen. No, but what, like, say here, well, we have
yeah,
a really bad internet connection, right?
Yeah.
So say you want to stream some type of media or something like that, right? You can't do that, but you can connect because it creates its own access point, right? So, you know, you can connect and you can stream the video that you want to watch or whatever. Here you connect to the internet really, really slow or something like that. And what's also really cool is that a lot of these devices, you can power them on and then they're done, right? But, you know, we have these chargers, which we have like four sitting here.
Yeah, there's all kinds of.
But we have these chargers, and you can just plug it into USB and it will be powered all the time. So you can stream for a limited amount of time, really.
Okay.
Cool device.
It's got 150 feet. 50-foot radius.
Yeah,
I saw a lot of ranges that were previously shorter get extended on devices.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Wi-Fi is doing some pretty cool stuff.
What do you mean?
Like, there's tons of new Wi-Fi devices.
Yeah, there's a lot of new Wi-Fi devices. I think the big thing for me is Lee and Lee had this. I'm a huge fan of the standing desk because I have one at home, or I made one, really. And Lee and Lee's desk cases, Lee and Lee desk cases are amazing. If you haven't seen them, just Lee and Lee for the super great quality, just some of the best quality when it comes to PC cases. And they have their new desk, which will be the DK04, and it's a standing desk, but it's adjustable. So it's not actually a standing desk; it's an adjustable desk. So you can have it where you're sitting, and then you can raise it up. It's all motorized. You can raise it up and put it at the height that you want, and then you can stand. That'd be perfect for my office, I feel. And it's really cool because they make it easy to build inside as well. There's just a tray that comes that you can take out that has all of your components minus your hard drives on it, power supply and everything's all in that tray. So you build it outside with the tray, put it in, you're good to go. It has RGB lighting too, so the entire top of it is a glass panel,
right?
Which is also easily removable, and it has RGB in there, room for like up to a 480 rad in the front, two 240s in the back. It's really big. I would expect it to be well over $2,000, but it's one of the coolest things I've seen. Just awesome.
Yeah, those cases are really good for you too.
What about you, Jack?
Well, Derek just brought up Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And I think one of the products I liked the best was Luma.
Oh, yeah, that's a startup, right?
I guess it's a startup. I wouldn't necessarily say it is. New company.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it's necessarily like startup.
Yeah, they're not like seeking funding or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, it's wireless mesh networking. So they take a lot of features you usually see in enterprise networks and put them into your home. So if you want to add, you know, usually people have to buy a range extender if you want to like extend the range of your Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
And even D-Link is trying to do something where they're packaging a range extender with like one of their more powerful routers. But Luma is a little bit cooler than that because you can just buy another Luma, put it somewhere in your house, works everything out itself, and you don't do a thing.
That's cool.
And range extenders can be kind.
Was pretty inexpensive, right?
Right now if you pre-order, I think it's $99 for one.
Okay.
And if you want three, it's $250. But that's pre-order only, and that's half off. So you're looking at $200 and $500.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, which is no longer that.
Yeah.
That affordable.
But it's like, it's more than just like easy to set up routers, though. I mean, it's mesh network, so it passes you off from when you go from the range of one to the next one.
It does
power shifting so that
it'll manage these power levels, so each access point doesn't interfere with the other one.
Gotcha.
It does band steering, so if you 5 gigahertz bands crowded, it puts you onto 2, et cetera, or 2.4, et cetera, you know, and everything like that.
So you don't have to do any
any
specific switching.
And there's also a great mobile app.
The app is like key to
it. The app is what makes it work. Yeah.
Actually, if the app works like they showed, it's like revolutionary.
Yeah.
Cool. Control.
Because you can share Wi-Fi network access. So if someone comes to your house, oh, what's your password for your Wi-Fi network? What's your Wi-Fi network, first of all? And then some people don't even change them from,
like
when they get
it. Well,
you don't
want to give away your password because that's the same password you use for, like, your bank or
exactly.
something like that.
Exactly.
That
would be a terrible idea to do that. But, yeah, if you do that, that's a really bad idea. But exactly.
But when you get home, you better go change your password.
But anyways, you can go on your phone, and it'll show you, like, devices in the area that don't have access. Or you can send the person an email.
Yeah.
And they get a link, and they click it, and all of a sudden, they're on your Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, I think that's the coolest thing.
Yeah, and you can revoke access just as easily. You go in there, and it's like, oh, Bob has Bob's phone on your network. I can be like, I don't like Bob anymore, and he no longer has access.
Well, beyond that, like, anything connected to it, you can see what it's using.
Yeah.
Like, what it's accessing, and you can kill the access, you can limit the access. It's like the ultimate parental controls for, like, you can kick your kids off Wi-Fi and make them go live outside for a little while.
Yeah, that's
which we love tech, but... Yeah.
Well, I mean, some parents have a really difficult time regulating usage of certain devices, especially like an iPad or something or an iPhone. It's so small.
Yeah.
And as a kid or a student or whatever, I can take that anywhere with me. You know what I mean? I can be in bed and have it under my pillow, and when my parent walks in, I throw it there and take it back out.
It's very hard for a parent who's not a techie to go in and
exactly.
set that stuff
up. There's no way. Yeah. You try to tell them use OpenDNS or something, they have no clue what any of that stuff is. You pick a category, it has ratings, like G, PG.
Oh, yeah.
So parent going to be like, oh, Johnny can't go above G, and oh, my other child is older than that.
Yeah.
They can get like PG or something, you know?
That's cool.
You can set like bedtimes where it cuts off so they're not just sitting up, or when they're supposed to be doing homework, you can limit them at like any time.
Or if there is something that is blocked, it'll give you notifications saying like, hey, Bob is trying to go to an adult website. Or any website. You could say, like, Bob's trying to go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to go to YouTube for a class project.
Yeah.
So I can it'll give me a notification on my phone. I'd be like, yeah, Bob can go to YouTube this time.
Okay. Yeah,
and
it lets
you
go
to that. Yeah. So it's super easy to, like, change rules, too. Once rules are set, usually they're pretty set.
And
you don't want to go back in.
Yeah. This is revolutionary for wireless networking, not only in the home, but also, like enterprise didn't have that type of control.
Yeah, that's cool. I really like that.
And it gives you that control away from home, too, through the app.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, so they gave a demo like, oh, if you have a babysitter, you can see, and your babysitter's on your Wi-Fi network, you can see if your babysitter's doing her job or their job or his job, you know?
If not, you kick them off.
Yeah, and you can, you suck.
That's the thing is, like, with these networking products is making that type of control easy, because it's easy to set them up. They all have their easy integration or whatever you're setting up.
One button start.
Yeah, but, you know, after that, doing things like parental controls or limiting or even opening up certain ports for certain, types of games
or
whatever.
It's not easy.
So having something that's so easy, I really like. And for that price is,
If anyone out there needs this, pre-order it now. And I think it's to be totally worth it. I might even buy one just for the heck of it.
Yeah,
or two or three.
I think the three is the thing to do.
Unless
you have a really small place.
Yeah, if you're in like an apartment,
one
is going to cover you.
And it's AC networking too, 1900 AC. So it's not like you're getting a bad access point either. It's a pretty decent access point. Yeah,
but you're not going to have crazy huge range with.
I don't think they gave us ranges on that. Yeah. But I mean, I don't think it'd be that bad. I don't know.
Yeah. I also wanted to comment on Cooler Master because. It seems, we reviewed the Master Case 5 before Christmas, and I talked about it a lot on the podcast, and they showed us all their new products, and they're really making their products for builders and for makers, and I think that's such a big thing, because I think Cooler Master was a little in the dark over the past year and a half, maybe something like that,
maybe more,
as far as, you know, everybody was innovating and doing certain things with cases, especially cases. And they kind of just sat doing the same thing. They showed us a lot of their new cases at the suite, and just the fit and finish of all of them are great. They all have the freeform modular design, which means that you can move different parts internally all around and kind of design it how you want. You can also buy more things. Like, you know, some of the cases will only come with like a single hard drive cage, but you can actually buy another one to put in there, and you can move them around. And what's great is if you start with one of their cases and you buy another one, all of those internal components can actually be used in the other one, which is cool. But just the fit and finish of all their products is really good. They have their new 1200 watt power supply, which is called the MasterWatt Maker 1200. It is their first titanium certified power supply. It's all aluminum too, so it has this like kind of industrial looking aluminum build to it, which is really, really nice. And it's a smart power supply, so it has a Bluetooth adapter. And the mobile app is awesome. It's probably, we've seen mobile apps for power supplies for a while, but this one just looked really good. You can actually set it. You can do all the adjustments on your device, and it's not just monitoring. You can actually change the fan profile. You can change, you change fan profile. You can see the efficiency. You can see all of that right on your phone. And because it's Bluetooth, you can walk away, and you know,
yeah.
you can make changes, you know, while you're sitting on the couch or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if the fan's too loud, you know, maybe I'll turn it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. It's pretty cool. They had a lot of really good stuff this year. Really impressed. Definitely check out all of our articles on all of that. I don't know if there's anything else that you guys saw.
Everything like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We saw just about everything.
Like well, CyberPower, which...
We saw everything like that.
CyberPower PC has this all-in-one with the full-size graphics card.
Yeah, they had
a curved monitor.
Yeah, there's a 34 from CyberPower has a 34-inch forget the actual name, but it's an all-in-one PC, and it has a the form factor is not overly large. I mean, it's bigger than your typical curved monitor, right?
Oh, the back panel.
Yeah,
but from what you're getting,
but you can fit it up to a Titan X inside, and because you have that 34-inch, it's basically like having two monitors, so you don't have to go out and buy another one.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, Gigabyte had one too that they had built up.
I think that was that.
That was the one.
I think so.
Oh, you know what? You were probably right.
Yeah,
that was a big thing.
Because CyberPower probably just
and what makes it so great is the ability that I can just go to a LAN party, take this thing with me, and I'm ready to go.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm gonna still have one of the most powerful systems there because I can fit up. You know, I can configure it to fit up to a Titan X inside. I can play the greatest games. You know, at that high resolution, It was really good. I forget the starting price. It was pretty high. I think it was $2,000 starting price.
I would expect. I mean, you're going to pay $2,000.
Yeah, and the thing is, people have to think this is not just a system. You're getting the monitor. It's the you know, you're getting a 34-inch curved monitor as well.
Well, I mean, it's a Titan X, right?
Yeah.
So that's a $1,000 GPU.
Yeah,
plus monitor. I mean, it's
you can fit up to a Titan X.
Well, curved.
You can fit up to a Titan X, and then you can configure all the way. I think it's like 970, 980, 980 Ti, and Titan X. I don't know.
So
I believe you can do the same thing on the AMD side.
What's great about it's the curve look too. You know, coming and this being an all-in-one, it's completely different versus just buying a curved monitor, of course. But you know, the curve feature would definitely had a nice touch because what was the resolution like?
It was
34 or something.
No, it wasn't a 4K display, but I think it was a 1440p display.
Probably,
yeah.
34, which would probably look close to like 1080 on a 22 or 24.
Yeah, it looked really good. What did they have playing on the
Rainbow Six?
Rainbow Six, we played for a little bit on there, so that's pretty cool. Another thing talking about gaming and streaming is Razer had their new webcam, which is called Stargazer, and it was actually really cool because a lot of people who are streaming full time, you know, they actually have studio setups now. It's just like a big thing.
Yeah.
And they have green screens that, you know, so they can cut themselves out. Well, this actually, it's based on Intel RealSense, which is actually three cameras in a single webcam. And what this does is that you set, you know, you have it, I guess, scan you or something like that.
Yeah.
And
different depths of field now?
Yeah. It's like different depths of field or something like that.
No, it's straight. It's now, obviously, this is more geared towards somebody who can't do a green screen because their rooms are small.
Well, they just
green
don't, I mean,
screens
just,
are huge. Like it's because it's only what $199.
Why don't you just paint your wall, dude?
Well, I mean, there's other options.
Yeah,
before,
but the way I was
giving you guys a hard time.
Yeah,
I know.
The idea of it is that it cuts like if you're streaming, you just want people to see you, and you're superimposed on top of the game, right?
Yeah.
So when you're superimposed on top of the game, then all you. You know, all you want to see is yourself.
Yeah.
So this, with the technology that's in the camera, it allows you to just, like, basically hit a button, scan me, and then I select the region that I want, and then everything else. Like, we were walking behind this guy, and we weren't even showing up. Like, they had a demo there of somebody on Twitch playing, and, like, you couldn't...
Well,
I'm guessing it. You said it's three cameras, right?
Yeah, it's three cameras.
So my guess, theoretically, I would say it's probably scanning you, seeing where you're at, choosing the depth of field just beyond you.
Yeah.
And putting that out of focus, and then whatever's out of focus, it can detect, and it just green screens that.
Well, you have your... There was severe... It's not finalized yet, and the software is, like, the key component for it, because what is it called? Like, artifacting was way off, but then again, this was obviously just a demo or something.
It still looked really good. I mean,
for a demo version,
it looked really good. It's just, you know, again,
so much going on in the back was the issue, I think. But
streaming and, you know, people on Twitter, like, it's a huge thing now, and they're developing it for it. And it's a really high end camera too, so it's gonna record you at 60 frames a second. You typically don't see that with a lot of webcams.
Really
these
smooth
days.
Picture then.
Yeah, it's gonna be really good.
Oh, too, 60 yeah. frames per second to this camera.
I just said that.
Literally.
Hey.
But that's a key, that's a hell of a key component,
second.
Though.
Why is this such a big deal?
Because not many... The C920 is, like, the best camera that most Twitch users are using, right?
I don't know.
And then the web... was it Web 3.0 camera or something like that, which is, like, a $600-$800 minimum camera, which is 60 frames per second. But with this being the $199 price point... See, the $199 and $299, I'm pretty sure it's $199, but it's with the price point, and being 60 frames per second is great, you know, because, well, I mean, obviously more frame rates.
It's good value.
But, I mean, it's filming yeah. you.
But some...
And you're sitting there
but it looks
this,
a lot smoother.
Like nothing, yeah.
I've seen the differences between the
you
two,
can,
between
it's,
30
it's
and
a,
60.
It's much more smoother, especially
much
if
smoother.
You're, you know... but I think the biggest thing about the camera is that it is a Intel RealSense camera, and they've designed software specifically to help streamers.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing.
You could just use a Kinect, do the same thing.
But
that'd be cheaper.
You know what? You're kicked out of this podcast.
Yeah.
Man. I was letting you know.
No, but like, who's
Jack,
gonna?
And it'd probably be way more accurate than that thing.
Jack, could
yeah,
you
but
stop
who could,
coming in with like?
But
yeah,
is there software that makes it easy,
sorry.
Easy
stop
for
being
you
my
to do it?
Fan
sorry,
huh? There's not software specifically designed to do that.
I guarantee you, I could find software.
Exactly,
or
you
it.
Could find it. Like, and it's hard to set
this
up.
This is all
this
out
is,
of the box.
So
bro.
You're paying $200 for something that's a little
but
bit easier.
Intel RealSense camera is $150 anyways.
Okay,
that's three. You know, Mr. Kinect over here.
I'm saying that Kinect would probably do it. Kinect would probably do it. It'd probably do it really well. Kinect, like, version 2 would definitely
yeah,
do
but
it really
thing
well.
Is about 5 pounds lighter and a quarter of the size.
It doesn't matter.
But anyways, it was really cool. That should be coming out. I think they said Q2. $199, pretty good price point. And the Intel RealSense has a lot of cool stuff going for it. It's the same thing. Like, just like Kinect, like, it will track you. And there's three different cameras on it. I'm not sure what all three cameras do. But it's really cool technology.
Yeah,
I thought that was one of the cooler things that we saw at Razer. I'm trying to think what else I saw. I saw something that we haven't even put on the site yet, but I didn't even do a video on it. But I thought it was pretty cool because I haven't seen something like this in a long time. Is that at Silverstone they had this little device that allows you to turn on your computer with like a press start thing, and we've seen these for a long time. But this one's super easy because all it does is, you know, your headers on your motherboard. It's just a thing.
Oh.
So all it does,
yeah.
You, like, you know, your power button, you connect this, and then it goes into, like, a PCI slot, and all you do is just hit, it's just like a, you know, turning out, like, a remote start for your car, but it's for your computer. So you just turn it off. Pretty cool.
People turn their computers off?
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, say like, you're coming into your office, right?
Well, I did
like, you
come
know,
here,
you, people in the office, they don't leave their computer. You're instructed to turn it off at the end of the day.
Oh.
Most people do.
Oh, okay. Every office I worked in, we always have our computers on.
Well, usually most offices where there's actually like real security and then there's things,
yeah.
they're told to turn the computers off at the end of the day.
You're like the Debbie Downer of this
yeah.
thing.
Well, this guy, I mean, I don't know where he's getting his information from. That's all. I worked in
he's
the
just
office
getting
with security.
Point. You don't have to defend yourself.
Yeah.
I'm
but
just
anyways,
like, it's kind of silly. Like, why do I need a remote start?
Because a lot of people, like I said, they do. And I thought it was really cool
it's
super.
He's just feeling nostalgic. But
yeah.
Bob's feeling.
It's pretty cool because you can just turn it on.
I understand that, but I just don't know why
yeah.
I need it.
Well, it's like $30. It's not expensive.
I'd give him $5. And why am I using the PCI slot for this?
It's where it holds in the back, the remote.
Oh, you mean an expansion slot?
Yeah.
In the case?
Yeah, it goes inside.
Oh, because you say PCI slot, and I was like picturing that too, like you're running wires from the header into a PCI slot.
It just holds
like,
it holds the
yeah.
What's it called? Yeah.
The wireless receiver?
Yeah, it holds
okay.
the receiver, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool, because like I said, a lot of people do turn, especially power conscious people turn their PCs off. A lot of people do.
Hippies.
Well, I'm actually surprised you don't use one then. Jack,
yeah,
you are a resident hippie.
I'm a hippie. I actually turn my computer off.
See, that's what I mean.
But I can turn my computer on just by moving 3 inches to my side. I don't need
not everybody.
Button.
Okay, so it's sort of a silly thing, right? But at the same time, it does. There are people that could really use it because they're
like
you've got your PC set like up and away, or maybe even in a closet.
It'd be useful, maybe home theater setup,
home
PC setup,
or like
well,
like
some good advice.
Yeah, home theater setup, or like there's people who, who knows? I mean, there's all these different use cases where, like, people, it takes a long time for their PC to boot up. Like, if it has to go through all these, just listen. But if it has to go through all these security protocols to connect to certain things or do whatever, it's going to take more than, even if it has an SSD, it's still going to take to connect to all these things and get authenticated on a network, all that stuff.
You got to clean your startup up then.
What?
You got to clean up your startup.
But no, but you know what I mean.
Using a computer, basically, at that point.
But you know what I mean? Like, you go to the office, you turn it on, you put your stuff down, you get your coffee, you're back, and you're ready to go.
No,
you know, a key point would be if, like, one switch could turn on maybe a whole office or something like that.
There you go. That's what I was getting to.
Yeah,
maybe if it could be, like, connected home device. When I walk into my home, motion sensor senses me. Then it's like, oh, let me turn on the lights.
But
let me turn on my computer.
The thing is,
whatever
with this,
else
you said,
that would be useful.
That'd
be useful.
Typically, when it comes to desktop PCs, you always have to press the button. You can never remotely do it.
I can't remotely do it on my laptop either.
Well, you
can. I could use Wake Online.
But it has to be connected to the network.
Right. So when I get home, Wake Online.
You have to be directly connected.
Right.
With an RJ45.
So I'll make it work.
Let's just hook a connect up so it visualizes your face.
But anyways, I thought that was pretty cool just for the fact that, you can go in and just press a button and it's fairly inexpensive.
We just been,
seven
minutes talking about it, but...
We don't... Hey, guys, we're trying to have a podcast here.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, CES, I mean, the things that we write, that even we write about, like, it's the big stuff, right? Like, everybody wants to hear about the TV, the new case, the new monitor. Well, the truth is there's tons of small things like the Silverstone.
Well, the thing is, you don't think of the use cases because you're like, there are use cases for all these things, or unless they wouldn't create them.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be mass producing them. You know, so there are use cases for all of this kind of stuff. And the stuff that we see, like, all that stupid, well, they're selling 100,000 units to somebody who's making a
Somebody's buying it
because they're not spending $100,000 on a place at CES because.
Well, maybe. There's some booths out there where you're like...
Yeah, but they're here for a specific reason, you know what I mean?
That's true.
But I just thought it was really cool because, again, you just hit a button and it's turned on. You know, just like people have remote starters for their car, same thing.
Yeah.
You know. So, besides that, I'm trying to think if there's...
I mean, I don't know. Did you guys go to, like, Central Hall with all the big companies?
No, we went through Intel really quick. They had VR stuff, they had drones, they have everything there. Intel, they have so many different technologies. They showcase a lot of products that use their technologies. But yeah, the show floor is just so packed.
The only one really, because we did a tour with Samsung, so we were in there and we saw their giant 8K, I think it was like 178 inch flat panel. That was pretty cool, but it was horrible being in their booth, of course, because
I try to stay away from the show floor as much as I can.
Well, with today we did Mad Catz that has the Katana headset with
what it is, it's basically it. When you try to get 7.1 audio, you can't get it. If you're listening to a lot of headsets, it compresses it. You don't get the full audio experience. So what this is it works through HDMI, and that's where you get that uncompressed audio. So basically, they have like a little thing here that it's like a pass-through. So you put your HDMI into it, HDMI goes out. And then wirelessly, it will transmit to the 7.1 headset, and it sounds
incredible sound.
And the thing that's great about it works with any HDMI device. It doesn't have to be gaming. It could be your home theater.
Right.
It could be anything.
Of course,
you
do
that
have
awesome
to have that. You do have to have that HDMI out available.
Yeah,
it's just your basic HDMI.
Yeah, it's like any device uses HDMI.
It's in line,
but it's like it's so perfect.
Oh, it's
like,
in line. It just pulls it out.
Yeah,
like so you plug it in and then you plug your TV in it.
So there's a little the transceiver.
He gets it.
Plug it.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's gonna explain it right.
It's so pristine. It's like you're watching the video and the sound isn't just like if something's happening on the right. Yeah, you're gonna hear it on the right. But if it's happening like on the right behind a cupboard or a box or something like that, or up in the corner of something, you hear it like it way up there, kind of like it's pristine to like it just has incredible sound.
Hmm.
Is it true 7.1 or virtual?
True.
So they have
seven speakers. Drivers.
Yeah, it's a big headset. I mean, it's primarily designed for gaming. Yeah, it's a Triton headset. It's primarily designed for gaming, but again, you can use it for anything.
Right, right.
So if you're watching a Blu-ray or something like that that has that really, really
for
good
Derek.
Sound. Yeah, for Derek.
The last person in the
yeah.
world.
But I would never.
Yeah.
But what? You need speakers. Why would you?
Well, say your wife is sleeping, or if you ever have children and they're sleeping, perfect device for it.
They need to learn to just ignore the sound.
Yeah, there you go. That's the man of
the
house.
But it was really good. I think it's going to be, what is it, $249?
Yeah, $249.
Oh, that's not bad for a headset.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's wireless, too.
It's wireless, yeah.
What about mic? Any mic?
Yeah, mic.
Mic, does that work on all platforms? What platforms does that work
on? It should work on all gaming platforms.
Including console?
Yep. Yeah.
And the earlier consoles, too.
The receiver, I believe, has a line-in
for
mic.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. How are you actually going to input the sound?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because you're not going to send it back over HDMI, right?
Well, it depends.
I'm not necessarily sure. The little box device has a line-in, but I'm not sure how.
Line-in, line-out, HDMI.
It had a microphone one way or another.
Yeah, there's a microphone on the side.
Some crazy way.
Yeah. It's designed for gaming, so I'm sure it works at least on the consoles that way, I would assume. But I would assume it works on any HDMI device the way that they have it set up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd sound on any HDMI device.
Yeah.
The question is, mic
for
Xbox, PS4. Like, what are you going to do, you know?
But yeah, I think that's... I'm trying to think if there's anything else that you guys saw.
Well, I mean, I'm going to the show floor tomorrow. Obviously, podcast is now. But, you know, from what I'm real excited to see is that rollable OLED and all that.
Oh, yeah, that was something that was really cool.
Yeah.
They had, I don't know who has
what's
it.
What's OLED?
Yeah. What?
That's like the point of OLED.
Yeah, to be a rollable OLED that actually will make the market, right? It's supposed to make it to market this year.
Eventually the more foldable OLED devices are going to come out eventually in the next, I think, year to 2 years. Like kind of like paper screens in a way.
Right.
What the latest leak on the next iPhone was that it'll have an LG rollable screen. So. Which is the rest of the components rollable? I don't really understand what they're going for. But
yeah.
Let's
just
say
the
that
thing.
They've got it in it, so it's flexible.
Yeah, maybe.
And then it was pointed out that iPhones are already flexible. So
listen, Android,
Dude, you should get a phone that has, like, real GPS in it, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't...
Yeah, we try to get an Uber in Derek's
and
phone,
Bob can't
and couldn't
use
tell
Uber.
Us where the GPS went because his phone messed up.
And Bob screwed,
simple,
screwed his
app,
free $20
so
thing.
He actually cost me $5.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I think, you know, all the stuff the show is so varied, it's so hard to cover it all, but I think we got some really good stuff up on the site. You guys can obviously... check it all out. We have an entire CES section, so it's thinkcomputers.org/CES2016. Anything else you guys want to add about anything that you saw?
Tons of good stuff. We're going to have tons of good content.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming up. We're pretty much drained, too.
Yeah, we're buried
because
the backlog.
Yeah, because we barely sleep this week, so it's kind of hard to get everything up and do this podcast at the same time. But yeah, definitely check it all out. We have an entire dedicated CES page. Talking about next week, I know next week we'll have Derek's Water Cooling 101 Part 4.
Yeah, I did write that.
Yeah.
This is what CES does. It,
yeah,
like,
you don't even remember what you wrote.
Burns
but
your brain out.
We will have that for sure. That should be up Monday. If you don't know what that is, our Water Cooling 101 section is basically where we tell you how to do water cooling, and we have a whole, you know, they run episode 4. So what is episode 4?
Prepping your parts.
So getting everything
ready
to install.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll definitely have that next week. As always, guys, we're on iTunes. Just search Think Computers, all one word. We're on pretty much everything else as well. So just search Think Computers. You'll find the podcast. Till next week, catch everybody later.
Thanks, guys.